Good evening. I'm an alcoholic and my name is Kimberly. I have the privilege of serving as Panel 71 Delegate for Area 83 Eastern Ontario International. Welcome to our second of four information sessions on the AAWS Comprehensive Media Plan. Our topic tonight is AA Advertising, Google Grants, and more? I want to extend a special welcome to our panelists, Morgan and Julie. With their collective expertise, the evening promises to be educational and instructive. And if I could ask Morgan and Julie to raise their hands just to bring them to the front of the gallery view, that would be great. And we'll also spotlight you in just a couple of minutes. Thank you. Before I turn the meeting over to our facilitator for this evening, there are a couple of housekeeping matters. This session is being interpreted in English and French, so please select the channel that you would like to listen to. Please locate the interpretation button, probably down towards the bottom of your screen there, and select the language of your choice. We are saving audio recordings only of both French and English. Links to these audio recordings will be emailed to registrants following each session. Closed captioning has also been enabled. If you experience any technical difficulties, please send a chat to our Zoom tech. And if you have any questions for our panelists during the session, please do not send them directly to our panelists, but rather please send them to the chat monitor. Alcoholics Anonymous is founded on carrying our message. Historically, this was done from one alcoholic to another, and then through our literature. As AA evolved, so has the way we carry the message. We have treatment centers, pamphlets, websites, commercials, newspapers, and grapevine. More recently, this has included social media, YouTube, podcasts, and the Meeting Guide app. As the world and the ways we communicate change, how is AA changing to carry our message most effectively? How are we ensuring the message being carried is that of AA? A joint effort from the General Service Board, the General Service Office, and Grapevine, the Comprehensive Media Plan looks to answer these questions. How do we best carry the message in the spaces we occupy? How do we evaluate that message? How do we grow? What spaces are we in and where should we be to make sure that anyone, anywhere, who reaches out for help, the hand of AA is there? So I'm now going to turn the session over to our facilitator for this evening. Please help me welcome Rob, Panel 69 Delegate for Area 83.
Thank you, Kimberly. Hi, everyone. I'm an alcoholic. My name is Rob. And as Kimberly said, I had the honor and privilege to serve as Panel 69 Delegate for Area 83 Eastern Ontario. So welcome, everyone. It's great to see so many people here tonight and so nice to be with you. I want to let you know how I see the evening will flow. So I'm going to invite each of our two panelists to introduce themselves and give us a brief explanation of their role with Alcoholics Anonymous and their involvement in developing the Comprehensive Media Plan. Each panelist will speak for 5 to 8 minutes to give us an overview of their particular entity with the implementation of the Comprehensive Media Plan. Panelists were given a list of questions in advance of this evening's sessions. Their remarks will address the bulk of those questions. While the panelists are speaking, I invite members of the audience to submit any questions that come to mind into the chat. We're looking for lively discussion amongst panelists and between you, the members of the audience. You can submit your questions in either English or French. When called upon, chat monitors will read those questions in the language they are written. So at this time, I'd like to introduce our first panelist. I don't believe Julie and I have met in person before, but I look forward to your presentation and please help me welcome Julie.
Good evening, everybody. So nice to see all of your faces. My name is Julie Gonzalez. I am the Senior Digital Communications Analyst at GSO. I am a non-alcoholic at GSO for a little over 11 years. I started out as a staff assistant on the group services assignment, and I moved through a few different assignments. And When communication services became a staff assignment and eventually moved into being a department, I have taken the full journey with it. So that's how I've come to be where I am. So how did you get me tonight? I have been with the website since I started at GSO. Originally, I was just doing some basic reporting on the back end of our web in 2011 and 2012. But as our needs have changed and grown, I've stayed with the website. As we grew into more platforms, as we explored more technology, and as we took things through discussions and exploration of traditions and what technology is available to us, what platforms should we and should we probably not use, I've been in a lot of those conversations over the years. So as we grew from just having a website to having a website, a YouTube, an app, a LinkedIn, the online business listings, I have been part of all of them. So that's how I am here this evening. For Google Ads specifically, I am the person at the office that does the day-to-day work associated with Google Ads, and I work very closely with the public information assignment on any updates and planning for that channel. It's been a long, interesting conversation, and it has certainly taught me a lot about the traditions, why we take things slowly. So the other things that I do in my day-to-day work at the office, I work with search engine optimization or SEO. I work with, all of the analytics for our platforms. So a lot of the things on the back end that kind of keep things moving and how we're starting to really look at how do we measure what we're doing? How are we setting goals for ourselves? How are we looking at what is success and what is not success? So that's a lot of the things that I look at right now, and keyword research. So it's been a huge learning curve for how to do this in the AA world. So that's how you've ended up with me this evening. One of the things I saw was a lot of questions in the pre-questions about AA Near You, and AA Near You on AA.org has been my baby for a long time. One of the pieces of information I wanted to make sure that I share with everyone here, if you have questions or concerns about AA Near You or someone gets in touch with you about them, email websiteservices@aa.org. That will get it through to the website team so that we can continue to have proper and accurate information on there. So I always try to make sure every presentation I do, everyone knows websiteservices@aa.org. I always go a little short on initial presentations of who I am and what I do because there's so very much of it. But I'm part of the communications department. I work with a wonderful team of five other people that are really trying to make sure that our platforms are up to current business practices and industry standards as often as possible within the traditions. So I think that's everything that I have to say.
Thank you so much, Julie. And our next presenter will be Morgan. And I have met Morgan in person before. And the last time the two of us were at a meeting on a lobster boat off the coast of PEI. That was quite an incredible day. So I look forward to hearing your shared experience on the comprehensive media plan. And take it away, Morgan.
Thanks, Rob. Good to see you again. I am Morgan. I'm an alcoholic. I serve as an appointed committee member to the Trustees Committee for Public Information. I don't want to bore everyone who was here last time too much, so I'll just make a brief what is an ACM speech. But if you look it up in the service manual, there's not a lot. It's basically there's someone that's appointed to one of the trustees committees for their usually professional expertise on a given topic. So if a committee has a need for an expert or a consultant or something along those lines for some project that they're trying to do, either temporarily or long-term, they send out a request for an ACM. And I saw that opening email come through my email, and they needed a digital marketing expert with at least 7 years of sobriety. And at the time, I happened to be a digital marketing expert with exactly 7 years of sobriety. And I thought, how many of those could there possibly be? So I sent in my CV And two very rigorous interviews later, I was in New York. Apparently there were quite a few digital marketing experts with at least 7 years of sobriety. But I feel really lucky that I get to serve on this committee. I learn so much every time that the committee meets, and it's really made me a much better trusted servant. But jobs for ACMs can be very different even within the same committee. So there's another ACM on PI. His name is Kirk. He does completely different stuff than me. He's not involved in the CMP, whereas I'm kind of in charge of the CMP. I'm chairing the CMP subcommittee this year. And it's kind of my job to make sure that all the information gets wrangled, all the things get updated, the new sections we want to add get written and added. And like last year, I do all the editing and making sure it sounds like a cohesive person wrote it. And I add my expertise where I can. It really comes in handy because when we're trying to increase our online visibility, you know, we're not marketing anything necessarily. We're not selling anything. But visible and accessible for when people need our help, you know, that's online visibility, and that's what I do. That's my background. So I've been working really closely with Julie on the Google Ads account. It's been an absolute pleasure. Julie's amazing for everyone who doesn't know Julie. We log on, we update campaigns, we make new campaigns, you know, like a lot of the work that happens, we collaborate on really closely, you know, working together on ad copy and setting up the back end and what different conversions are, the metrics we're tracking for success, and how those things are implemented onto the website. So how do we know, you know, how many people we're reaching? What analytics are we reporting out? What analytics are we tracking? It's all really important stuff. And we did work together on the CMP section for Google Ads last year. You know, the CMP's got a lot of stuff in it. And, you know, occasionally I'm able to use my professional background to kind of like make recommendations, kind of like sprinkle in recommendations and see what the conference committee says. Because, you know, conference, Julie and I worked together and we wrote a suggestion for how better Google Ads could be better managed moving forward. And they liked it. They said yes, they agreed. So now we were able to run the account much more effectively. And, you know, when I talk to different areas occasionally, I do stuff like this. And no matter what I'm there to talk about, the Google Ads always gets the most questions and gets people the most interested. And there is always a lively discussion around the Google Ads. So I'm really, really excited that tonight we're spending this big dedicated chunk of time to just talk about that and answer anyone's questions. And I'm really excited to have this conversation with everyone here and hopefully illuminate the dark and mysterious world of Google Ads for everyone. Thanks.
Thank you, Morgan. Okay, so as I mentioned earlier, if you have any questions, you can send them to one of our chat monitors. Amy is monitoring the English and Michelle is monitoring the French. So first I'll ask Michelle, do we have any questions from the French monitoring?
Michelle is not in the room right now, Rob.
Hey, yeah, Michelle's here. I can see him. I can see him waving his hands. You are muted, Michelle. Is Michelle not able to unmute himself?
Not yet. I'm just looking for him. Oh, there we go. You're good.
I wasn't able to before, so no thanks, Rob, and no questions in French yet.
Thank you, Michelle. And Amy, do we have any questions in English?
Yes, Rob, we do. One question here is, AA is using AdSense as part of the outside contributions from Google Grants. How slippery a slope is it for AA to use AdSense and represent this process as anything other than advertising?
Thank you for the question. Julie, would you like to try to answer that for us?
Sure. So, and Morgan can correct me, but I'm guessing that with ads, AdSense is probably the old name for Google Ads. Okay. That was one thing I wasn't sure about because that's a little before my time. So with Google Ads, the way that the grant program works, these ads are not presented unless you've specifically searched for one of our key terms. So if you're looking for something else that's not related and we haven't tagged it, none of our stuff will show up. They're not promoted. They only come up if they're available for the specific in Google. So they're not going to get pushed out through an email. They're not going to get pushed out to another website. So these are informational text-based ads that are only available for people that are looking for the information we provide that we've put key terms out on. So that's that's the major difference between something being an ad that would be promoted out for this huge demographic versus we just want people that are looking for the terms that we've put out there so that we can provide them information. They also aren't guaranteed to show. So that we're part of the same bidding process as everybody else. And the last one, I just have a moment. Google Ads does not allow advertisers to target users based on health conditions, including alcoholism. So those are some of the stipulations that are part of the Google Ads program. I'd say if Morgan has anything to add to that.
Sure. If we want the hand of AA to be unique and interesting tool that we can use, I touched on some of this in the last presentation, but there's a lot of money. There's a lot of money in recovery spaces. There are tons of for-profit rehabs out there and recovery centers and websites that spend, like I kid you not, tens of thousands of dollars a month just on SEO. So just improving their website and generating content. And aside from more tens of thousands of dollars on Google Ads. And, for us to spend tens of thousands of dollars on SEO, like that's just not a good use of our Seventh Tradition money. That's not what we can or should spend our money on. So as a result, we don't get shown in the Google search results as high as these other places. So we're not there. We're not there when people search for us, when people search for our message, like we're not there. And the Google Ad Grant gives us an opportunity to be there, to be at the top of the search results ahead of, for-profit people that have better SEO than us. And, the grant is available to any nonprofit. And we traditionally accept perks, I don't know, grants, things like that. Things that are special nonprofit rates, all that stuff. As long as it's available to all the nonprofits, and it doesn't affiliate us in any way. And this doesn't affiliate us in any way. The Google grant's available. And it allows us to better carry our message. Like it's a solid PI tool. We have ad sets for people who are looking for hope with a drinking problem. We have ad sets for professionals, for judges, lawyers, all that kind of clergy people. So I'm in the back end to see the data. Like it works. Like we get clicks from people who otherwise would never have found us. So, it's doing the work we need it to do. It's not affiliating us in any way that I can discern. So, a way to answer that question. But thanks.
Thank you, Morgan and Julie. Just to confirm, SEO stands for search engine optimization, correct? Yeah.
Yes, yes. Sorry about the alphabet soup.
That's okay. I just wanted to make sure I had it right.
You'll get a lot of that with the two of us. We'll do our best to name the acronym after we use it.
Okay. I wonder if you want to maybe talk a little bit about what Google Grants are and how they work for anyone here who's not familiar with what we're talking about.
Sure. Morgan, I'll start and if I miss anything. So the Google Grant is, again, as Morgan said, up to $10,000 in text-based ad placement value per month. So there's no money coming into an account. They're not sending us anything. It's the availability of ad space up to a $10,000 value. So that's what they offer. Can't add pictures. We can't add video. We have very limited character counts. And the point of this is that nonprofits can put a very targeted message that has to be for helping people. It has to be for only giving information, and it has to be related specifically to what you do on your website. So they have a very narrow scope of what this grant is about. So we can't sell books through here. We can't offer any local information because that doesn't tie back to our website. So they've made sure that anyone that takes this grant is trying to put out information that will help people. We have to go through a process to make sure that we're not acting in bad faith, and we have our ads are consistently reviewed through their process. So the grant, pardon me. So the grant, nonprofits would have a chance to still show in the, as Morgan said, in the wild world of search engine optimization, where for-profit companies can just buy the top spaces. This makes sure that nonprofit companies that participate can also have space that's near the top. So that's the whole purpose of the grant program.
Thank you, Julie. Okay, I'll just remind everyone, if you could please try send your questions to our chat monitors, Amy and Bert. I'm getting a few of them here, and that's fine. I'll try and stay on top of them, but it'll be a little easier if you can send them to Amy or Bert. So, one question that I just received in the chat, follow-up question for you. Can Google Grants be compared to public service announcements being shared on TV, which has been done for years?
That is basically how, in all of the conversations that have been had over the years since I started hearing about this in 2016, in all of the conversations that have been had, it has been equated to the same type of program as what happens with PSAs. PSAs, there is a value given to airtime. It used to be mandated, it's not anymore, that TV stations had to have a specific amount of airtime available for PSAs. It's not mandated any longer, but most TV stations still allow that amount of airspace, which has monetary value, and the stations decide whether or not they're going to be put up. So it's a very close approximation of the same type of system.
Thanks, Julie. And that's for TV and radio public service announcements, correct?
Yes. Yeah. It's placement of an ad that has value.
Ask Michelle if you've received any questions in the chat in French.
Yes, I did, Rob. So here it is.
Okay.
Si je comprends bien.
If I understand well, AA has keywords for Google ads. Those words are in English. My question is the following. Do you do the same for French searches? Do you have, in other words, French keywords?
Thanks for the question. Julie or Morgan, do you have an idea on that?
Was there interpretation on that? I didn't hear any English.
Oh, you didn't get it?
No, Morgan, if you heard it, do you want to field it? I'll see if my thing is set right.
Sure. Yeah, as far as I know, we don't have French ad copy or French keywords, as far as I know.
Okay. That was the grant currently is only in English.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Amy, do we have any more questions in the chat?
Yes, Rob, we do. I've had a couple of questions come in around the theme of website keywords. And so are the results of the website keyword search done by GSO available for other AA webmasters, such as groups and districts?
So we've shared some of the results in various ways over the years. The reason that we don't share a comprehensive list, and you'll hear this a number of times tonight, is because what works for us as GSO and the scale of what we do and the amount of information that we have available might not work for everybody. So we've done a massive amount of research over the years on YouTube and on the website that we've cross-referenced. We could still be doing better in the tools that we use and the methods that we use. So we don't want to put out this huge list saying, this is the list. This is the way that you have to do it, because there's plenty of local offices and local efforts that are going that are probably getting better results than we are. And we don't want to discourage anyone from the work that they're already doing or saying that our way is the only way to do it. So that's why we haven't put out any sort of a, here's the list of everything. There was a big list that was available in the CM. It won't be in there this time because, again, people thought that was the list. So we try to stay away from anything that makes it look like this is the only way to do something.
Thanks, Julie. My understanding is to qualify for Google Grants and Google AdWords that you must be a nonprofit organization. And I think a lot of our intergroups and districts are not registered nonprofits, so they probably wouldn't qualify that way.
Yes. For the grant, you do have to be a registered 501c3, or I'm not sure about the Canadian rules because we haven't explored that since we're situated in New York. But that would probably be something that would be easy enough to find out with an email.
Thanks, Julie.
Can I touch on this one too?
Sure.
Yeah. So, like, there are big differences between like a national online and a local campaign. Like, there's a big difference between local SEO and national SEO, and there's a big difference between, you know, national Google Ads campaigns and local Google Ads campaigns. Back in, I think, I want to say 2014, there was a Google algorithm update. I think it was was it Hummingbird or Penguin? It was one of those. And I think it was Penguin. And it made it to where, it gave local businesses an edge over national chains. It made it to where the searcher's exact, like, physical location had significant weight in the results that it shown, both paid and organic, but especially organic. So this was kind of done to give local businesses a fighting chance in the SEO game, because otherwise big national companies would be the only ones that ever showed up, and all the local, like, mom and pop stores would never show up in the Google search results. So with the AA.org website and with the Google Ads campaign, really exists to sort of be like the safety net to catch all the things that the local things wouldn't catch. Like, we serve a different purpose, and like Julie said, the it wouldn't sort of translate. We have talked to one, or I don't know if I want to say we, but Patrick and I talked to one area that was pursuing getting the Google Ads grant themselves and setting up a local Google Ads campaign as a part of their local PI efforts. And we had a long discussion with them about, like, what kind of keywords would make them show up versus us, and how we could, like, not compete. Because obviously we don't want to rise the prices on each other. Like, we don't want to compete with any local committees, like, ever. So we had a nice chat with them, and anything local they put in their keywords is going to make them stand out. Like, Like, I don't remember which area it was, but like, let's say, like, find AA meeting Pittsburgh, you know, like if like they've got local keywords in the thing, like obviously they're going to show up or probably not, because that's more relevant. So like a lot of what we do exists to support local PI committees, you know, like the comp services, like we make the radio PSAs and the TV PSAs, and then local PI committees are the boots on the ground that actually do the work to get those played a lot of the time. You know, a lot of our work exists to support local work. And I think that the Google Ads is an interesting example of like a way that those things, you know, it's like, it's not within the means of every local PI committee to have a Google Ads grant, you know, like they said, not every district area is registered as a 501c3. They're not all qualified. Some of them can't afford to go through the process of getting certified through. We had to get like certified as a special, like we're a legit recovery place and not a SNE. What it costs, like $2,000 or $3,000 a year or something. You know, like most local PI committees aren't going to have those resources to devote to this. So we can do this. This is something that we can do up at GSO that that'll support everyone. And the local website stuff. You know, like there's a lot of ways that all of our efforts are complementing each other really nicely. And this is just one way that they can and are.
One more word, Rob, on keywords. Sure. We also have. We use a different set of keywords depending on which platform we're on. So we use a completely different set of keywords on LinkedIn than we do on the website, or than we do on YouTube, or that we do in Google Ads, because they're all slightly different for a slightly different audience. So this is a massive amount of information that we could easily overwhelm a local committee with without any context of why we chose to do this and why this is happening. So that would mean every single PI chair that received this massive amount of information, there would need to be one-on-one conversations for why is this here? Why wouldn't we do this? And it would potentially cause so much more confusion. Like, we don't want to give that much more work to people just to figure out how we got to where we are, if that helps and makes sense, because we're worried about just confusing people more.
Yes, that makes sense.
And the keywords change. The keywords have to be updated regularly. Like when I'm doing keyword research for campaigns like outside of AA, like I update the keywords every 6 months, at least every year. So by the time that like the conference report would come out and have all our keywords, that would probably be 6 months to a year out of date anyway. And keyword research is not super hard. Like I would always recommend anyone pulling their own keyword data because it changes every day and everyone's situation is unique and there is no keyword list that's going to stay fresh for long because people's search trends change. It changes all the time. If we update our keyword list, like we would be irrelevant very, very quickly.
Thank you. And I received a question that says, what are some of the keywords?
Depends on the platform. It depends on the piece of information. It depends on who we're talking to. So it like there's thousands upon thousands. So it's difficult to even start spouting off a few. Like obviously, top things for the website. I'm going to start with the website. Top things for the website. The top functionality on AA.org is daily reflections. Some people search for daily reflections. Some people search for daily reading. Some people look for thought of the day. Some people, like there's all kinds of ways that people search, and some people start searching by the date, but some people use November 14, some people use 14 December, some people use numbers. Like there's an infinite number of ways that people search, which might be completely different on your website than it is on ours. So our information might not even be helpful. So it's knowing your reach and how they're looking for you that's really going to help you understand what keywords would work for you. Not knowing our audience, because our audience is just a huge sample size. So that's why it's what works for us might not work for everybody.
Thanks, Julie. I'll just remind everyone to click on the interpretation button. It should be at the bottom of your screen, and choose the language of your preference in order to receive interpretation. And with that, I'll ask Michelle if we have any questions in the French chat.
Yes. Well, one from me, if it's okay.
Sure.
Alors, je me demandais si vous pourriez.
I was wondering, Julian Morgan, can you give us an example of an ad of AA on Google? So that's my first question. Second question, I think that Morgan was saying that Google, it will change soon and next year. So how will it impact your work?
Thank you, Michelle.
Morgan, if you'd like to answer the second half of that first, I'll pull up the Google ad.
The analytics are going to change, and how will that affect our work? That's an interesting question. And so the Google is constantly updating its algorithms. So it makes SEO like sort of a constantly changing target you're trying to hit. And you know, if you play to the algorithm too much, then they're going to change it and you're not going to be in the position you thought you'd be in. So with SEO, with search engine optimization, like if you want to show up first in Google search results, content, like high quality, high value content will always be the best bet. So when we're optimizing things for the long haul, like we want the keywords for the page to reflect the content accurately, the content itself is the best it could possibly be. And algorithms do change and things change. So sometimes the technical SEO, the back-end SEO, things like the Google, there's a test, like a page speed test, like their core website vitals, like your website has to function really well to be shown in Google. And so that changes a lot. The standards for that change. So, and they're constantly going up. So making sure that the website meets those standards is a constant battle. And making sure that the content is presented in a way that's search engine friendly and user friendly. The goal of any search engine is to provide the user with the most relevant, highest quality result as quickly as possible. So if you make sure that you are the highest quality result, that's half the battle. And then really all that you need to do is make sure that your website's set up right to talk to search engines and you'll show up. Some of it isn't, you know, the way that I would want it to be from an SEO expert perspective. The pamphlets are a great example. The way that the pamphlets are on the website right now is not search engine friendly or really user friendly. So, because right now, if you want to look at a pamphlet, you go to the website and you find the page. There's a page for the pamphlet. It's got a picture of the pamphlet. And then you click a button that takes you to the PDF. That's not ideal. It would be really cool if we had all the content of the pamphlet on the page. That would be a lot more user friendly, and it would take more clicks, less deep into the website to get to the content that people are looking for. It would just be a little better. But you know that our wish list for the things we want to do to the website is about this long, longer than I can fit in this frame. It's quite a list. And that particular one, which is one of my personal pet peeves about the website, is being worked on. Like there are solutions that are actively being explored. And point at those things and be like, hey, that needs to be better. And sometimes, you know, we get suggestions from area committees, and it's all important. And what we were talking about for the keywords updating, like for the ads updating. So the way that people search also changes every year. So if I were SEO optimizing a website or making a Google Ads campaign, I would go into a keyword tool. Google has one. Google Ads has a keyword research tool. And I would start punching in the keywords that are relevant and then see what the search volume is and what the competition level is. and make sure that I'm using the high search value versions of the terms that are relevant in my efforts with Google Ads or SEO optimization. So that if there's a way to see something that people don't actually use, I'm not saying it that way. I'm saying it that people use most often so that I'm much more likely to come up in a search result because that's what people are going to be punching in the search bar, not, you know, something else. Like doctor near me. People are probably aren't going to search locate a physician in my approximate vicinity. Like no one's going to search that. No one's ever going to search that. They're going to punch in doctor near me, not physician in my approximate proximity, you know? So that's a silly example, but sometimes little differences in how you word things make a huge difference for Google Ads or SEO. Julie.
Okay. And bravo, that was beautiful explanation. Do I have access to share my screen? Okay, yes, cool. So let me just remember where the share screen button is, which would be great. There it is. Okay. Can everyone see content of the ads? Mm-hmm. So apologies to our French guests that this is in English, but again, our current grant is only in English. So this is what one of our ads shows up like on mobile. It is the text of the ad. We have two header texts. We have a little explanation underneath, and we have some links available as well. So this is the limited text that I told you about when I said that there are only text-based and we have very small character counts. So this is the entire ad. I hope that this answers the question. And obviously the one that's up here, again, for our French speakers, the one that's in the box and getting to meeting guide, and this is our most consistently clicked ad in Google Ads.
Thank you, Julie. And I received a message from Amy that says she has a good follow-up question to this.
Sure.
Amy?
Yeah, someone wrote that they texted it or they typed in help with drinking. And AA in Great Britain came up on page 4. AA in the US and Canada has not come up on the first 4 pages. Why is this happening? Can you explain that?
It's all search engine optimization. There is no guarantee that we will show up on the first page. Everything is continuing to improve. And again, we're working against people that have budgets in the tens of thousands and millions. So we are doing our best to improve. We do show up on the first page for a lot of things. But when that someone types in, because again, what was the phrasing that you used? If we don't have that specific phrasing as a keyword, we might not show up for that search. So it's exactly what Morgan was talking about with doctor near me versus physician in my vicinity. Just the difference in that phrasing means that we would show up for one, but not the other. So think of all of the different ways you've looked for anything in AA and someone else phrased it slightly differently. If we didn't have both of those terms in our keywords, we would show up for one, but not the other.
Interesting. Thank you, Julie. Okay, Michelle, do we have any questions in the French chat?
No.
Okay, how about in the English chat, Amy?
Yes, we have a lot of things coming up and dealing with traditional leaven. If advertising either with Google Ads or PSAs is considered the same thing as promotion, how do we reconcile that with traditional leaven? Maybe you've touched on this, but.
Sure, so I'll start. So we actually, and these have been the subject of a lot of conversation over the years, specifically about traditional leaven. And there's been a lot of back and forth about whether PSAs are promotion and whether Google Ads is promotion. And it is a public information opportunity. We're not telling you, you know, come get sober at AA, come now. We're saying we might be available. We're not selling anybody anything. Just because the spot is being made available to people, it's not the same as call now. Call now, it's $9.99 until November 15th. You know, you get your free little big book with it too. So there's a difference between the information that we're giving out versus trying to promote a product. So that's one of the pieces to it. The 11th tradition discussion is vast and amazing and around both of these subjects. But if we don't put public information pieces out there, we're not out there. And as you said, we're not showing up for people searching for things that do have AA in the phrase. Even though we're doing all of these things in organic search isn't enough. So the question is, do we want to be found? And acting the traditions, and that's not to promote things, it's to just offer information.
Thanks, Julie. Bill Wilson once said when speaking about anonymity that we can't be so anonymous that no one knows we exist.
Yeah, and also there's the famous quote that where Bill was talking about the mass communications network that was TV, and it's absolutely applicable to the internet. You know, it's available to us and we should use it. So we're just growing with it and finding how it fits into what we do and respecting our traditions.
Thanks, Julie. Okay, any more questions in the chat, Amy?
Yes. What platform is used to reach the younger alcoholic?
Morgan, do you want to start? Or would you like me to start?
Sure. I can start. as you know, I got sober at 19. what platforms are younger alcoholic? That's a fun question, all right? So Grapevine has an Instagram. You know, we're on YouTube. Grapevine's killing it. All these social media platforms are search engines unto themselves. Like Google is the biggest search engine. There are people of all ages on Google. YouTube is the second largest search engine. It's a search engine. So part, like, that's why we're on so many platforms, is so that wherever people are looking for us, they can find us. Like that's our goal, is if people are looking for AA, we want to be there wherever they're looking for us. So we've interpreted that, you know, to mean, you know, let's be on YouTube because people are going to be searching for information there. Like people, especially young people, you know, we like short videos. We like short informational videos as a way to learn things and gather information. So that's one of the things. I think that the work that the great is doing on Instagram is great. I think that, you know, AWS could also use an Instagram. You know, like it wouldn't hurt us, wouldn't kill us, but that idea has already been, you know, shot down at conference. It could be raised again if somebody submitted a potential agenda item to another conference. They could look at that again, but that has already been denied. You know, my main reason for thinking that AWS should have an Instagram is because there are a bunch of fake ones. There are a bunch of fake AWS Instagrams on there. So people are looking for us and they're finding someone who is pretending to be us. And I don't think that that's a good look, you know, for the people looking or for us. Didn't do a ton with, and you know, we talk a lot about like the pamphlets and the website and stuff. You know, I never want to leave anyone behind. Like I don't want to leave anyone with any technological barrier behind, but I feel like we need to be everywhere. We need to be at the very front end of technological advancement for all the young people. And we need to be at the very back end doing things in the analog way we've always done them for people who in remote communities, technology barriers, low, I don't know, technical, I don't know. You know, there's some great people doing a lot of great work on both ends. And I think that it's incumbent upon us to be wherever people are looking for us on both ends of that spectrum. So should we be on TikTok? I don't know. Maybe someone should ask the conference. I don't know what we put on there, probably the Class A trustees. But we could think of some things. But I do think that there's a lot more we could be doing to reach younger alcoholics. Absolutely. We have this wealth of content that we could be putting out there on platforms like Instagram or TikTok or whatever. And we're not doing what we could be doing for a lot of reasons. But if anyone here has any ideas about ways that we could reach young people, tell your delegate, like get a motion sent to the conference, get it on the conference agenda, because that's where a lot of the best ideas come from, honestly. Julie, you got anything on young people?
I've got one thing, and it's a reminder that the Young People's Video Project is still open and accepting submissions. So AAWS doesn't necessarily have the dearth of a content that is attractive to younger people that Grapevine does. As Morgan said, they are leading the charge right now with content creation, and they're really good at doing that. But knowing that we are asking our young people, hey, what do you want to see? What would help you to bring someone to us to help them get sober? So that's an effort where we're trying to crowdsource, what do you want to see us putting out as content? So we're trying to get information from the fellowship and from the members of that demographic instead of making decisions about what would be attractive to them. So there's really a lot of thinking around, you know, what. So there's a lot there's a lot of that kind of revolution going on in a lot of our thinking and a lot of our projects right now.
Thank you. You know, people were so excited about these sessions that Kimberly started receiving questions weeks ago, and she's provided some of them with me. So I'd like to read one of them now, and it has to do with analytics. And it says, what did the analytics tell you about the various social media tools other than the number of clicks or visits? Are you getting information about their impact or value to the still suffering alcoholic?
Sure. I'll start. And Morgan has already seen my notes from the questions we got in advance, so she knows some of what I'm going to say. And we're in the early days of revamping all of our analytics across all of our platforms so that we can do better cross-platform comparison. So we want to be able to say, okay, so here's what's happening when we get people in from YouTube, and here's what's happening when we get people in from LinkedIn. This is probably the better kind of content that we want to put on this platform. Or this is really the thing that people are coming to AA.org and asking for more information from on this platform. So what we're trying to gain from most of our analytics is, what could we be doing better on those platforms so that people are getting the information they want while they're on that platform, especially the ones that come to our platform because they obviously saw something where they wanted more information. So that's the first piece of how we're starting to really redo our analytics so that we can better understand that. We don't necessarily have all of the tools that we need to do like full cross-platform, exciting, you know, everything is automatic and all of that, I wish, please. But we're not ready. So, you know, we take baby steps and we learn and figure out how to plan for those types of things. And let me just read this off because it'll be easier for me. With the two GSO social channels, YouTube and LinkedIn, and also with the online business profiles that do have some social features, we're seeing some increased engagement offsite. So not everybody is coming to AA.org, but they are interacting with the content within those platforms. So it's a good thing that we're putting out content that is useful to somebody on those platforms. So that's encouraging. We expect engagement both on and offsite will increase as we refine our processes for each platform, so that we have more content at a greater frequency that is useful to that audience. I'm hoping that wasn't too long of a sentence and that it made sense. With comments turned off wherever possible to protect anonymity, we lose all of the social juice that's not sharing and liking, which is a detriment to us for the way that social media works. But we're still doing what we can again, within our within and respecting the guide rails of our traditions so that we're not breaking people's anonymity. So it may not be that we're getting the greatest social engagement, which would be really nice, but we haven't figured out how to stop people from breaking their anonymity on our content. So that's something that maybe it's an educational opportunity for us. Maybe there's a way we can grow in that. But since we don't know how to do it, we're going to lose that juice until we figure it out. So I hope that answered the question.
Thank you. And sort of a follow-up question that came in on the chat. So how do we communicate with the GSO, Search Engine Optimization and Analytics, to provide feedback and get feedback? So I think it's kind of, they're asking, like, how does the fellowship communicate with GSO in regards to search engine optimization and analytics and to provide their feedback?
Sure, you can email me. My email is gonzalezj@aa.org. I will copy on anything that comes into me. I'll copy Patrick and whoever else needs to see it. I'm the easy person that can field questions. And if I don't have the answer, we'll figure out what kind of information you're looking for. I may not be able to give you everything we want for the reasons that we spoke earlier about, we don't have all the answers and what works for us might not work for you, but I'm happy to field all your questions and we'll work to see what we can get for information for you.
Thanks, Julie. So if you have any further questions, send Julie an email and your inbox may be full tomorrow morning.
I'm all about it. And again, Gonzalez with two G's, two Z's.
Thank you. Maybe Kimberly will throw that in the chat for us. Okay, French questions.
One last from me. I'd like to thank the organizers. Thank you very much for offering this opportunity for the French people to participate and have the translation during the meeting. I really appreciate and thank you very much. My question, Julie, I think you mentioned it a bit. I was never blamed for going too fast in taking decisions. The opposite, right? It takes a lot of time sometimes to come up with a proper decision. So I think that in today's world, we have to go a bit quicker. You know, trends are going on so fast, changing so fast with technology too. So I think that a great way to do it is to be online and using Grapevine or the website to see the new initiatives.
So we agree, but so that there's always going to be a we agree, but. So GSO and AAWS and the Grapevine are beholden to the conference process. That's why, as Morgan said, you know, Instagram did come up at a past conference. Facebook came up at a past conference. Twitter came up at a past conference, and they were all shut down. And so we can't use them unless they go back to the conference and are approved by the conference. We can't necessarily start new social media platforms without group conscience. That's how all of our current platforms exist. We had to get permission. We had to go through the process to do the research and speak to people, just like we're speaking to you tonight about what we were going to do and why we were going to do it, how we're going to do it, and how we're going to stay within the guide rails that are provided in all of the 36 principles. So while it's nice to move faster to stay up with trends, we don't always have the freedom to do that because we need to make sure we fully discuss everything. Google Ads has been around since 2016 as a discussion point, and we're still going over basics, not just in this workshop, but in many meetings and discussions at the conference every year. There's still a lot of debate, even though that's something we were approved to do years ago. So this is one of the reasons we don't move fast. What we are doing, however, across the office and across Grapevine is improving our processes. So getting rid of some of the processes that slow us down, modernizing some of the ways that we do things so that we can move faster on things that are approved. So while we may not be able to add all sorts of new stuff, we can do better on the projects that we already have in place.
Thank you, Julie. Amy, do we have any more questions in the chat?
We sure do, Rob. We're getting questions about analytics. And do we have any analytics that inform us as to how AdWords contribute to the search engine optimization? And maybe you can touch on how have some of these analytics, what have they taught us about the searches, the analytics?
Sure. In a broad sense, a lot of people are looking for find a meeting. When we started Google Ads, we started with two campaigns. One was get help, the other was find meeting. Each of these campaigns had three ads in it, and that was the requirement of the grant, two campaigns with three ads. So each of those campaigns had, you know, one would have three different ads about finding a meeting. Two of them led you to meeting guide, and one of them led you to find out to AA near you on AA.org. The most popular across the board is find meeting. People are looking for this in droves, and it never comes down. The one that I showed you earlier, that is always our top ad since we started the actual account. So it's people are still looking for the meetings, even if they're not necessarily looking for AA or can I get sober? They're looking for find an AA meeting. So that's one quick piece of information that I can actually say, you know, they want your meetings. They want to know where they are and when they are and how they can find more. We have all sorts of little insights like that, but it's continued to rise.
Thank you, Julie. And question along the same lines that came in with the chat is, in the last year, we have seen an increase in the click-through rate. What percentage of increase have we seen?
I'd have to look through all of our reporting. I don't have that offhand. If you'd like to email me after this, I will happily share that information, and you're welcome to share however, or if you'd like to, I guess, share through Kimberly. Anybody that's here, if that's amenable to Kimberly. That way we're not leaving out anybody who might be interested in that information.
I see Kimberly nodding yes, so we'll look after
yeah,
that.
Put it in writing so I can give you a good answer.
Okay, thank you. And Amy, do we have more questions?
Yes, we do. I'm trying to... Aren't Google grants, maybe you can distinguish if, are Google grants primarily for people rather than for AA members? In a way, I think you've kind of touched on that, but can you elaborate a bit more?
Sure. So again, we had two different ad sets, which were find a meeting and get help. The find a meeting could be for anyone. Someone that's interested in AA, someone that wants to learn about AA, someone that wants to find an AA meeting for someone else, because we've never heard of that happening before, or just someone who needs to go to an AA meeting for a project or for a class, because there's a lot of people that are in professional schools that are told, observe an AA meeting. So finding a meeting could be anybody. Get sober or get help. We did tailor those a little bit more, and it's, you know, AA might be for you. We might be able to help you. So those are a little bit more tailored to people that think they might have a problem. The third type of ads that we just launched a month ago, 2 months ago, Morgan? Oh, geez. They are for more of the professionals set. So someone in a professional capacity that might be looking for AA. So these are ad sets that are, you know, I would like help with my client. Can I find a AA meeting in a treatment center? You know, can I help my congregation? So there are different ways that we've put information together that professionals who help alcoholics might also search. So those are the three major types of ads we've put together thus far. the new ones for the professionals are still in very early days, and we generally don't make any assumptions until we have about 3 months worth of data. So we can really look at, is there a trend on something, but to see how they're starting to get hits.
Thank you, Julie. Okay, one of the other questions that we received in advance has to do with media sites. And it's quite a lengthy question, but I'll read it and see what we can do. So it says, GSO contracts with Sisian PR Newswire for professional electronic distribution of press releases. Does this service distribute to Canadian media? How many, which ones? Are we able to find out which ones so PI chairs could follow up with them when news releases are issued? Allows for 8 releases annually. The PI chairs could be notified as each release is made. Have you received any analytics data from Cicerin PR? What kind of information do you get? Will these analytics influence the choices of press release? For example, it seems like the anonymity letter to media goes out annually. Will you receive analytics that will help you decide whether to continue to put out that release or any others that are put out regularly? And sorry for the lengthy question, but I believe you had a chance to think about that earlier, right? So it's not new to you right now.
So Morgan and I both have notes from speaking with Patrick on this. Morgan, would you like to tackle this, or would you like me to read off what we've put together?
I think I'd like to sort of explain sort of how the wire works real quick, and then we can do whatever. So how press releases work and how distributing releases works for the most part. Okay. So if like in the olden days, people built up press lists. So they built up media contacts at different news organizations all over the world, whatever. And when they had a press release, they would send it out to all their media contacts, and like some people would run it and some people wouldn't in their publications. Well, then you got this thing called, the wire. You'll see stories that were not written by people that work at that newspaper. You'll see stories from, overseas or from different cities over the country. So press releases go out on this sort of channel, and then media sources can decide to pick it up and run it or not. And sometimes they rewrite the press release and you kind of spin it a little bit. Sometimes they don't. And so what we pay for essentially is for our press releases to be distributed far and wide to all these media outlets all around the world, and then decide whether to pick it up and run it or not. And what we also are paying for is the tracking on that as well. Because we do get annotation numbers and all that. And there are ways of tracking that on our end as well. And like, because if it shows up on Yahoo Australia, we get a lot of clicks, they can tell. Like, we tell stuff on our end, and also we get these analytics for it. So it's sort of like how it all works. Julie, you want to hop in?
Sure. I'll add some specifics to the questions that were asked that Patrick and I went over today to make sure that we were giving some succinct information, but Morgan's overview is excellent of just kind of how the landscape works. So does the service distribute in Canadian media? Absolutely. For a general idea of what's in our contract with Cision, there's a national Hispanic news line, there's a US news line, there's a distribution to media outlets, websites, journalists, relevant industry trade publications throughout Canada. And we received a press release. That information, the analytics that you asked about, is reported to Trustees PI on a regular basis. So that is information that we're getting, and that is being reported up to the trustees so that we can continue to make decisions about them. There was a piece in there about notifying the PI chairs. Area, Intergroup Central Office and district chairs are all notified for each press release already. Make sure your contact information is current in NetSuite or with our member services department, so that we make sure that you're, that if you are the person that is not receiving this information, that you receive this information, because all of those different positions should be receiving a notification every time we put out a press release. So our information in NetSuite is only as good as what people make sure, when people make sure that we have the correct information. There's so very many of you out there that it's not possible to follow up with everybody to be like, is this your email? So if it's not, if it's something and it's someone in your area, someone that you work on a committee with, just ask them to make sure that their current contact information is correct with us.
Excellent. Thank you, Julie and Morgan. Michelle, do you have any more questions for us?
No. Nope.
Thank you. How about Amy?
Yeah. I heard you mention that you're creating, you're picking keywords, but do you use any artificial AI intelligence or AI technology to assist in selecting keywords?
No.
Nope.
Okay. Sometimes we'll use the tools that are on each platform. So Google Ads has a built-in keyword tool. YouTube has some tools that are available. LinkedIn has some tools that are available, but we don't currently use any AI.
Thank you. Topic of press releases. Patrick has something that he'd like to add. So go ahead, Patrick. I will introduce Patrick is currently on the public information desk at the General Service Office.
Thanks, guys. Could not have me share tonight. I wanted to just weigh in a little bit about the day-to-day experience of the press releases, because they are generated from my desk in partnership with Communication Services. So to give you a little bit of understanding, the public information coordinator, myself, would start the press release, actually start to write the press release, determine topics in concert with other staff members. But now that we have the Communication Services Department and such great experience being built into that department, such as Clorinda Valente, the Director of Communication Services, who has extensive experience with these sorts of writings and the press releases and many, many things, we've shifted the writing of them to Communication Services. And so we are having communications and discussions about the analytics that are coming through as we work with Cision. We're looking at that content calendar, this week's sessions for those of you who are here, trying to determine where what awareness type days, holidays that we might want to press release around. Such as Alcohol Awareness Month or other such months, both in, Remembrance Day in Canada, Veterans Day here in the U.S., you know, all, again, not to comment on those particular awareness days or particular holidays, but to focus on how could we share a message about our content, about AA's content, that would surround the topic that's being talked about or in the media. For a particular month, such as Alcohol Awareness Month. The other piece that I wanted to share, so, you know, I think the analytics, it's new to us, and so we're having to look and see how that might impact our go-forward decisioning about what we're going to press release on. And now that we're doing them on a more regular basis, we want it to be valuable information that we're sharing and not kind of rote information that we're sharing. And then finally, I'll just share that that the annual to the media is a something that the conference has asked the PI assignment to do. And so it's something that is a constant so that we can continue to share with our media partners about our wonderful tradition of anonymity and why it's important. So that does happen every year in the January, early February timeframe from the death.
Thank you, Patrick. Okay, do we have any more questions in the chat, Amy?
Yes, I have one here about InfoCEPs. Do we pay InfoCEPs to certify us as safe? Do you know what I mean? Or what the questioner is asking?
Morgan, have you heard of an InfoCEPs?
I just Googled it, but...
Patrick, it might be that there's some sort of an incorrect name going on, but that's not something that we're aware of.
What's the name of the people we do pay to say we're a legit?
Scripts. Oh, legit script.
Legit script.
There we go.
Legit script. Okay, can we repeat the question, please, so that I can...
yes, with the proper word in there, do we pay info scripts to certify us as safe?
Okay, so LegitScript is required for us to participate in Google Ads and the grant. So what LegitScript does is they just check to make sure that you are a company acting in good faith, that you are a legitimate 501c3, that your website is what you say it is, and that you are operating, again, to help people. There's more to it than that, but that's the basic reason for LegitScript to exist. So it's, yes, we do pay them. It is just under $3,000 a year. It's a one-time the recertification. And again, it is so that we're not Murray's marijuana pretending to be a cure-all. So that's the purpose behind LegitScript, is to make sure that we are a legitimately operating business to participate in the grants program.
Thank you, Julie. And do you have any more questions, Amy?
I do. You may have answered this. What about users who default to other search engines other than Google? Such as Bing for Windows users, are your efforts duplicated over in that platform?
Not for Google Ads, because Google Ads only shows up on Google. But in general, organic search improvements to the website, improvements to the metadata on our backend, improvements to how the site functions, those are all universal to search engines. So if we update so that all of our tags on the back end of our pamphlets are more accurate and to move up our search engine optimization in all search engines. So there's different things that are effective only in Google, which are the Google products. And then there are things that are universal that we can do as a best practice on our website or on our other platforms.
Thank you, Julie. Michelle, do you have any more questions for us?
All quiet on the Western Front or the French Front.
Thank you, Michelle. One of the questions that came in before the sessions is, my questions are based on information from the privacy policy on AA.org. The donation in kind from Google credits is a reportable event to the IRS. The fair market value of dollars. How slippery a slope is this?
So I actually discussed this with Patrick earlier, and neither of us have heard the $20 million number before, but it is correct that the Google grant is reportable to the IRS. And we've gone over that in our 7th and 11th tradition discussions over the years. So the grant is up to $10,000 a month. If you don't use $10,000 in a month, it doesn't roll over. You don't get to keep it. You don't get to use it on anything else. And we certainly haven't used that amount yet. So I think in the third quarter of 2022, we used all of $7,000, potentially $7,700. Like, we haven't even hit a third of what we could be doing. So I don't know that dollar amount, but we have a set value for the ad placement that's available to us. And yes, it is reportable to the IRS, just like a PSA, and that ad value is reportable to the IRS.
Thanks, Julie. And just to clarify, the Canadian equivalent of the IRS would be the CRA, the Canadian Revenue Agency. So it's our, where you report and pay your taxes to. Okay, Amy, do we have any more questions?
Yes, we have. A few questions came in about, is there a way to disable when somebody clicks on AA.org, disable the tracking of that information that somebody has visited that site, somebody who would like to not have that that known?
Yes. It's a cookie op page. Morgan seems to have additional information that she would like to share with the fingers.
Yeah, Google makes it really easy to adjust your privacy settings, like within Google. There is a whole Google privacy dashboard that you can visit, and you can look at every single piece of information they have collected from you. You can export that file and look at it. You can delete it. You can adjust your settings on what they can and can't track. We don't, like, whether, like, what Google tracks, like, if you click on our ad, like, we don't have anything to do with that really on our end. Like, we see that someone clicked and that it came from Google, but that's kind of where our involvement with that data begins and ends. Yes, you can opt out of cookie tracking on the website. Like, that's all fine. But that's once you get there. That's completely separate from what Google is doing on the front end. Google Ads does not allow ad targeting based on a illness or a personal hardship. So addiction definitely falls well within that. Alcoholism falls well within that. If someone clicks our ad, they will never be shown an ad for a based on the fact that our ad, that is just never, ever going to happen. I know that that's a concern for a lot of people. But that's not how it works. We target based on keywords. So only if someone is searching for, you know, find an AA meeting, get my patient stop drinking, whatever. Like, that's when we show up, and that's when ads for other rehabs show up as well. But all that stuff with, like, the Google privacy, I mean, they're different. But it's really incumbent upon the user to have their Google settings, their browser settings, whatever browser they're using, adjusted to their needs and desires, and makes it very easy to do that.
Yes. And one last thing to what Morgan just said. As we continue to learn about all of the different privacy laws, not just GDPR, but there's four different ones in different states. Canada has a few. There's multiple different ways that the privacy landscape quickly. So we've been talking to people that work in the industry and are giving us advice on how to move forward and how to move ourselves towards all of these protections and making sure people can opt out of things and they understand what we're doing with our data, how we're going to update our privacy policies. So this is all stuff that we're aware of, and we're moving at the speed of the advice that we are getting to make sure that we're doing it correctly. So it is something that is very important to us and that we are taking a lot of pain to get right. And there may be other questions, but Morgan brought up a good point that was one of the previously asked questions, Rob, if I may bring that one up.
We're going to wrap it up in a few minutes.
That's fine. I can be brief. And it's because it is very often conflated, anonymity and privacy. They are different things, and they involve very different information and very different ways of doing things. So again, I wrote this down, so pardon me if I look over to my other screen to read it. I get a little nervous sometimes. So there's a major difference between anonymity and privacy. Anonymity, there is nowhere on AA.org or meeting guide that a visitor can publicly share that they're an alcoholic. Just like anonymity can be broken in an interview or a book or in social media, any action taken on AA.org could be a member. It could be a curious friend. It could be a professional or just someone in the general public that's looking for information. So the reason that comments are turned off on all of our social media is so that someone can't make an anonymity break at the public level. Privacy has to do with data, and it has to do with your browser, and it has to do with your device. So they're different concepts, they're different pieces of information, and very often we see people using the same term interchangeably, and it's not the same. There's no way to handle them in one. They have to be discussed separately because one is a personal response. Oh, the word I'm looking for is missing right now, and I don't have it in English at all, nor in French. It's the personal concept of anonymity, and it's how AA does things. Privacy is a universal concept, and it's something that has laws around it, and it's something that has, you know, these are the things that you must do. So I want to make sure that we make that clear that they are very different, even though they seem to be related because of what we do in AA and because of how we behave. We talk about this a lot at the office.
Great. Thank you for that, Julie. Okay, we're almost out of time, but before I turn it over to Kimberly, I'd just like to say thank you very much, Julie and Morgan, for joining us tonight. And thanks for your ongoing efforts with the Comprehensive Media Plan. It sounds like you're doing a lot of important work to help to ensure that we stay current and relevant. And thank you everyone for being here tonight and all of your excellent questions. And with that, I'll turn it back over to Kimberly.
Thank you so much, Rob. Thank you, Rob. And again, thank you, Julie and Morgan, for being here this evening and for everybody else who is here this evening as well. A huge thank to our chat monitor and our Zoom techs who helped out to make this happen this evening. Please take a moment to complete the short feedback survey on this evening's session by clicking the link in the chat. There is a survey available in both English and French. Sometime between now and Sunday, all those who have registered will receive an email with a link to the audio recordings, both in English and French. And this time I will attach Patrick's presentation from last week. Sorry, I neglected to do that last time. I will do it this time. The next session will take place on November 30th. At 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and the topic will be AA on social media, LinkedIn, Instagram, and YouTube. Please help me close with our Declaration of Unity. I know you're not unmuted, but you can just say it with me anyways, please. Thank you. So here we go. This we owe to AA's future, to place our common welfare first, to keep our fellowship united, for on AA unity depend our lives and the lives of those to come. Thank you so much for being here, and we'll see you next week.